Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
I want to begin with a question. It's not a trick question, I promise you. But I really would like to hear your response. And we're going to think about this for 30 minutes. So settle in with me, would you? Here it is. What did we just do? Before the commissioning of the life groups up here, Beth and her team, we were playing guitars and drums and everything was happening. We were standing, we were singing, some hands were raised. What were we doing? Worship, praise. Yeah, worship. If you look that word up in the dictionary, you're going to find definitions like this: to honor or show reverence for a divine being or supernatural power. Worship. To regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. Is that what you were doing? Worship. Worship is an action or response ascribing value to someone or something. Of course, for us as followers of Jesus, that someone or something is the Lord Himself, right? When we worship, what's happening is that we are invited, we're giving intentional focus to express, to say, to move, somehow to let God know how much He means to us. Is that what you were doing? Is that worship for you? So what we're doing is making space. We create a window for worship to express, to be intentional, to look to the Lord and give thanks. Psalm 150, verse 6 says this. It says, let everything that has breath, raise your hand if you're breathing. All right, woo! Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So if you're breathing, you're called to worship. You're called to worship. Now, you say, Pastor, what are we doing here? I'm being challenged in this season. I'm being challenged to rethink worship a little bit. Because I don't know about you, but I often think about worship within this context, right? That we're going to show up for worship. You know, we go to worship services, we sing worship songs. It's going to be a 23-minute window, right? But if we take seriously the definition of worship, it goes way beyond what we do right here, right? It goes way beyond. You could open up your eyes, thinking about worship, expression. You could open up your eyes first thing in the morning and say, wow, Lord, I'm alive. I'm alive again. Lord, you've given me another day. I have breath and your word says I should praise you. That's worship. That's worship. You could be fishing and see a beautiful pink sunrise and pause and just go, wow, Lord, you are creator of heaven and earth and painted such a beautiful sunrise. Worthy are you of all praise. You can worship with a fishing pole. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. That's worship. It's an expression of the heart that's directed to God for who He is and what He's done. You could get through a hard day, a cold day like it is outside. You could be taking a hot shower. And that refreshing warm water could be washing over your body and you are just in a moment of, oh. Why? James, later in the New Testament, says every good and perfect gift is from above. I'm sorry, but I think water heaters are a good and perfect gift from above. And so a hot shower at the end of a hard day, you can be in that place and turn your mind to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this blessing. Thank you. You can worship from the shower. You could go to work tomorrow. Yes, Monday morning. Ugh. You could go to work tomorrow, show up on time intentionally, not because you had to, but because you wanted to honor the opportunity that God's given you. You could work hard. You could treat your coworkers with compassion and dignity. You could be striving and give it all you got, not because you want a bonus, but because you see it as an opportunity to worship, to return your giftings to the Lord, provide for your family, meet services for others. How would that transform Monday morning? Worship. Worship. Have you ever thought about worship like that? Beyond the walls, beyond the song. Have you ever thought about that? Romans 12, 1 in the Message paraphrase says this. Says, this is Paul speaking or writing. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Your everyday, ordinary life, your waking up, taking a shower, going to work, life given over, surrendered to God, is the best worship you can give Him. Worship. You see, when we look to the Scriptures to study and dive into worship, we see that it calls us to something way beyond a song. It calls us to a life of worship. So today, I'd like to invite you on a journey. A journey to reframe, maybe rethink our approach to worship. To think about worship not just as something optional to engage in on a Sunday morning, but as a call of discipleship, something vital to our relationship with the Lord. Whether you like to sing or not. Worship. Psalm 145, 1 through 3 says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever. Every day, not just Sundays, every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Are you ready to worship like that? That's the invitation. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we approach worship, I love Paul in the Message paraphrase. It says, God helping you. Lord, we're asking for your help today and in the coming weeks to reframe our thinking about worship. Lord, to see it beyond the song. Lord, I want to worship differently in song, but Lord, I also want to worship differently going to work, going fishing, to Walmart, whatever we're doing. To offer that to you as an act of worship. So Lord, will you help us on this journey? Help us to hear your heart and your word and be changed and transformed as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're beginning a four-part teaching series called Beyond the Song, A Life of Worship. Throughout this series, we want to be challenged to reframe our thinking about worship, to see worship as something more than where we go on Sunday or something we do in a song, though it can certainly be those things. We want to see all of our lives as an opportunity for worship, as an expression of gratitude and praise to the Lord. Because here's the truth this morning. We, as created human beings, were made to worship. We're made to worship. It's part of how we are made. And so we are constantly prioritizing something or someone. We are actively expressing our devotion and commitment to something all the time. All the time. It's part of our nature and part of our hearts to leverage ourselves to express that feeling of our heart. Let's take an example from our culture. This scene is a Taylor Swift concert. And I would just ask you, let's think about what's happening here. People have sacrificed time. Many have had to sell possessions. I read some stories where parents were dipping into retirement accounts to afford tickets. They're moving, they're sacrificing to take part in this. Then we show up at a concert, hands are raised, voices are screaming up and down, jumping, singing. Isn't that like worship? Are we an expression sacrificing to take part in something? Now, sports fans, I know you weren't laughing at Taylor Swift concerts because this is the Freezer Bowl. 1981, the AFC Championship game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the San Diego Chargers. It's the Freezer Bowl because that day the wind chill was negative 50 below zero. No shirt on. We just defined worship as extravagant devotion. Isn't this extravagant devotion? When you talk to this guy, he wanted to rile up the crowd for his team. Like, I'd have thought of other ways. I'm just saying. Isn't this worship? And look, just exhale. I'm not saying don't enjoy a concert. I'm not saying don't go to a sporting event. I'm just simply trying to illustrate that we as human beings have an indwelt propensity to worship, to express. Even if you would sit here today and you would say, I don't like to worship, I don't enjoy singing, whatever, even you today are worshiping something. It's how you're made. Something has your devotion, your attention, your time, your energy, your focus. And the amount of things we can worship is limitless. We could worship political parties, popularity, or approval. We can worship money or success. We can worship even a relationship with a significant other or spouse. You see, we were made to worship, and we will worship something. It's how we're made. So you are today a worshiper, whether you know it or not. So as followers of Jesus, as we seek to model our lives after his word, we need to be very intentional and focused in this area. As we give attention to time in prayer and reading our Bibles and showing up and serving at church, we should, yes, focus on those things, but we are also called to give attention to our worship as a matter of discipleship and life in Christ. The Lord says we're to worship him and him alone. And so we're going to be followers of Jesus. We must understand and reframe and rethink our worship to see it beyond the song. I would invite you to our teaching text today in Romans 12. We're going to hang out there for most of our teaching time together. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I read you, quoted the message paraphrase. This is out of the NIV. Scripture's on the screen. There's a YouVersion event created today if you're a Bible app user. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This, Paul says, is your true and proper worship. This just really makes my brain happy. I love in this verse that Paul, right out of the gate, addresses the why and the who of worship. Did you pick up on that? He says, in view of God's mercy, the who and the why. The reason that we are called to worship, to focus in on this, is because of who God is and all that he has done. If you read the letter of Romans, the first 11 chapters are Paul unpacking and explaining the beautiful mercy and grace of God as it's expressed through life in Christ Jesus. This, he says, is why we worship. He turns around and looks at all of that theology he's just unpacked and said, you know what? That demands a response. Let's worship. Let's give our lives. This is our why and our who for worship. We worship God because he is holy, righteous, and perfect in all of his ways. We worship him for who he is, sovereign creator and sustainer of all the earth. We worship him in view of his mercy. Earlier in the letter, Paul says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's mercy. It's perhaps on its most full display in the sacrificial death of Jesus on a cross. It's a radical love, friends, and it's a love, it's an action, it's a mercy that demands a response. And that's what worship is, the response. It's an expression of thanks and gratitude. Our great debt as a sinful people has been paid, and we can have life and salvation in Christ. That's a pretty good reason to worship. Paul calls us that we would offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, and pleasing for Him. What Paul is calling us to and instructing us in worship is that we would give our entire lives to Jesus. The Message paraphrase says, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is quite literally the songs we were singing. Abandoned to God. Everything given to Him, complete surrender to His will and His way for our lives. This, Paul says, this is your true worship. It's your true response. As you look at the word here in Romans 12 for worship, it's closely related to the idea of service. It's speaking of actions that are directed at or motivated by a love or reverence for another. In this case, the Lord. In its most basic form, you could say that worship is worth-ship. We are ascribing, giving expression of value and worth to God. And what Paul's talking about here is he's inviting us to let it be an expression of our whole life. When we commit to doing life God's way, that's living worship. So we take this teaching of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. When we love our enemies, when we turn the other cheek, that's living worship. When we love our neighbors, when we care for those who are oppressed or poor, that's living worship. When we say no to the desires of our flesh, to the desires of the world, and we say yes to the will of God for our lives, that's worship. That's giving your life to Him. That's worship. When we use our talents and our gifts that God has given us to meet the needs of others, to provide a service, to make a living for our family, that's worship. That's worship. When we prepare a meal and take it to someone who's recovering from a surgery or has lost a loved one, that's worship. That peanut butter pie can be worship. When we serve in Kids City or in Nursery Neighborhood, or we play an instrument, or we greet at the door, or we prepare communion, when we serve Sunday in, Sunday out, teaching future generations about Jesus, that's worship. It's offering ourselves to God, saying, whatever you want, I'm yours. That's a life of worship. That's worship beyond the song. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to continue to explore this idea. To help reframe and rethink and open our hearts and minds to worship beyond the song. Next week, we're going to try to dive even more specifically into what this life of worship can look like Monday through Saturday. Then in the third week, week three, we're going to see the connection between worship and our giving and serving. And finally, we're going to see worship as warfare. Worship as warfare, understanding the powerful nature of worship in the battles of our lives. That's worship. We're committed throughout this journey to see the importance of worship in our lives as followers of Jesus, to make it a matter of priority, to see beyond just a small window of time on a Sunday to a vital and life-giving practice in our daily walk with Jesus. That's life. That's worship beyond the song, a life of worship. As I've been diving into this and trying to wrap my mind around this message and the series, one person in my life has really stood out, and I think this person embodies worship pretty well in his own unique way. You see, he can't sing a lick, but boy, I think he can worship. I brought a picture. That's my boy, Waylon. Hang with me. What did we say worship is? Worship is an overflowing expression of love and devotion, right? Sorry, cat people. This is a dog trait. Worship is an overflowing expression of love and devotion, extravagant devotion. That right there is that dog's best trait. Overflowing devotion to us, to you too if you come by. You see, his heart, it overflows with what seems like his uncontrollable worship. It's just natural. Like, we didn't teach this dog to do this. We didn't train him. We didn't prompt him. It's just how he's made. He's a worshiper. He cannot help himself. When we get home, he worships. It doesn't matter if we only went to the mailbox and came back. He worships as if it's been a month. He cannot help himself. Tail wagging, prancing around. If you don't pay enough attention to his worship, he'll jump up and try to lick you in the face. Not his best trait. But if you're unloading the car, he follows you up the steps in the kitchen, down the steps to the trunk of the car, up the steps, and he cannot help but be with you. He's challenging me. He can be laying in his bed. He kind of sleeps like a cat for being a big dog, but he likes sleeping in a little bed, and he'll ball up, and if you come into the living room, if he's sleeping or he hears you, his big old puppy dog eyes will be open, and he's tracking you. Just watching you around the room to see if you're going to pet him. And you can just look at him and you can start to hear his tail going. And just his tail is moving in that bed. He just can't control it. He's going to express it somehow. And you know what? I want to be like that. That when we think of the Lord, when we see a sunrise, when we have an opportunity to be in his presence, we just can't help it. Something's got to start moving. We got to start praising. We got to start thinking. We got to start doing something to worship. Look, I don't have any illusions about being worshiped. This dog will worship you if you come by the house. But what could we learn from that attitude? What could we learn? To be so enveloped in the Lord's presence that our eyes are always tracking with him. It's not about what a dog wants to be doing. They're all about what you're doing. Man, what if we as Christians were all about what God was doing and not about what we're doing? Whew. That dog's messing with me. That's worship like Romans 12. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. That's worship. Part of our goal in this series is to make space for worship. Just like if we were teaching on prayer, we would have time to pray. As we're teaching on worship, we want to take time to worship, to put into practice what we've been talking about. And so we're going to do that today. We're going to do that today specifically by taking communion together. The communion supper, this bread and cup idea, this was instituted by Jesus. It's a sacrament which proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death and resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It's a way of telling the story. It's a way of getting in the story tangibly. The supper is a means of grace. We believe that Christ is present by the Holy Spirit. It's to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. Communion is an expression of worship and devotion. Of gratitude, our overflowing hearts for the great mercy of God. Through Christ Jesus. We're going to do this intentionally slow today. You don't have anywhere to be. Some of you do. But we're going to do this slow today. To take time to be present. And I would invite you to worship. There's nothing I can do to make you worship. We can only give you the opportunity. And that's what we desire to do today. Before we take communion, we're going to pray a prayer of examine. A prayer of examine. What's that, Pastor? Well, it's coming out of 1 Corinthians 11. We believe that communion, this act, this sacred act, should be approached with respect and honor. It's as if we are handling the body and blood. We know it's representing. I got that. But in a very real sense, Christ is present. This is representing and telling his story. We don't want to do that flippantly. We don't want to be knowingly involved in doing sin and come and take the body and the cup. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, talking about what we're about to do, communion, he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You're telling a story by taking the elements. "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." Friends, I don't want to do that. And I don't want you to either. And Paul gives us instruction there. He says, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. We believe this is a special thing. And so I want to just make a couple moments here. Beth's going to play in the background. We're going to pray a prayer of examine. There's lots of them in the scriptures, but we're going to pray specifically Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. The words will be on the screen. As you pray, take a moment. Ask the Lord, "Lord, would you search me? What's inside of me? How's my heart in relationship with you?" Because we don't want to just trample up to this table and take if we're knowingly not living for the Lord. This is an opportunity to make things right, to listen to the voice of the Lord in your life, to repent, to leave that thing, that sin, and ask for his forgiveness and find life. So would you bow your heads with me? If you want to read the scripture, this is a time for you. I'm going to lead. I'm going to do my own praying. But I would just invite you to pray and seek the Lord. Verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." You know, the reality is we don't know our hearts as well as we think we do. But God does. And so what we're doing, we're humbly, we're coming to him saying, "Lord, would you search me and know my heart?" Not who I say I am, not who I present myself to be, not who I pretend to be in church. Lord, who I am really. Yeah, Lord, the real me. Will you search me? Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lord, any sin I'm holding on to, any reluctance, anything I'm not surrendering, Lord, I want to give that to you. And Lord, would you lead me in the way everlasting? We're just going to take a moment to pray. Search me. Sense the Lord calling you to maybe relationship for the first time, maybe to recommit, maybe he's putting his finger on a specific place in your life. Will you give that to him today? Will you give that to him? Will you allow his Spirit to come and to lead you in transformation and new life? We see in Romans 12, there's a direct correlation, a connection between worship and transformation. We want in on that. Will you surrender to him? Lord, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, you commended the prayer of the sinner in the temple that just said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Lord, we want to approach your table today, participants in your life, forgiven and redeemed and restored in right relationship with you. That's our goal today. That's how you've invited us. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for making a way. If you are ready, if you've prayed your prayer of examine and you're ready, there's no pressure today. If you're not sure, it's okay. Nobody's going to make a scene if you decide to just sit in your chair and pray. But if you're ready today, I would invite you to go and get the elements. They're prepared in the back. There's gluten-free in the back. There's also a table up front. Go and get the elements. Hold on to them. Return to your seat. We're going to take together here in just a moment. But if you're ready, I would invite you to move and get your elements now.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.